Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this afternoon, we're joined by Chief Skills, who is not a social media influencer. He's one of those as well, but a cannabis influencer and also a chief with loads of skills in charge of his own global tribe based out of Michigan in the US of A. How are you doing today, Chief?
Oh, man, I'm so blessed to be around you, brother. I've been waiting to talk to you for about a good 2-3 months now, so I am stoked. Couldn't be in a better day. We got sunlight in both our places. Oh, man, so it's a great time. Great time, brother.
That's right. Well, some things are meant to be, Lissy, and, you know, we met on Clubhouse, and, yeah, like you say, we've been dalliancing for a while, trying to make a time. I do that dalliance with a lot of people because I almost invite everybody who comes into my room for a podcast interview. And some of us get there quick. Some of us take a bit longer. Some of us don't get there at all. It's just one of those things, isn't it?
I love it. I love it, brother.
When you're trying to juggle as many things as I do in a day, some of them get dropped every now and then. So, you know, it's always good to get there in the end. At least we got there.
All the time. All the time. Hey, just say you completed the mission. You know, a lot of missions are incomplete.
Exactly. That's one more tick in the box.
Yes, so, sir.
So tell us a little bit about how you become the chief of all the skills and tell us a little bit about what that entails you to do in life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I became chief skills officially back in about 2009. It all started off with me. I remember when I had played football and all that good stuff. I was an All-American. I played Canadian football, arena football. Only thing I didn't play was the NFL.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I really think I'm don't even want to play football. And then lo and behold, Verizon, the company, can you hear me now? Yeah. They decided to get offer me $10,000 more than any football team was even offering me to play football. And I'm like, either get your head took off or go work and, you know, maybe have a family one day, right? So what ended up happening was about 08. So in 09, I was like, you know, I just had an itch for football still. So I end up developing my word, which is chief skills, chief of all skills.
Yeah.
They consider me undersized because I'm 5'6". And when I played football, I played receiver and return specialist, punt returning, which that's an extremely dangerous position. But, you know, I got a heart of a gorilla. So, you know, I don't sugarcoat none and I'm ready for all that shit. So, what I was like, man, I got to figure out a way to bring this back to my community because I'm from a less privileged community. You know, a lot of us don't make it out of there. A lot of us don't make it out alive sometimes when I was in Detroit, on the east side of Detroit. So, you know, I was like, if I can take care of our community through football camps and basketball camps and motivational speaking, then that's skills. Like that's skills. But I've always been a leader. So I was like, how can I make a name? Chief Skills. You know what I'm saying? So,
you've got to have skills to pay the bills, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, it's great for people who, you know, learn some skills and then bring it back to the neighborhood and help teach the next generation, because that's the only way we can evolve. It's the only way we can get out of situations. You know, we need people to come go outside, learn some skills, bring them back to the neighborhoods. You know?
Yes. And I was a translator. So like, I'll go out my friends, my mom, because up in Detroit, it's like a basically all black neighborhood we was in at my aunt's house. But I was born in Adrian, Michigan, which is only like an hour and a half south, hour and 45 south. But when I got towards middle school and all that, I started getting really good at sports because of being in Detroit where I'm playing with advanced people. Sometimes I'm playing with a grown ass man that'll just elbow the shit out of me. And like, I better not say nothing because then I'll be considered soft.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, what do I do next? And I just practiced my ass off. And my mom made sure I went to Adrian High School. You know, I came back home and Adrian's more of a white town. It's like 20,000 people compared to Detroit where, you know, that percentage is just in the hood of people. Now, that's not the whole town. You know what I'm saying? So I learned how to be a leader in here because all eyes were naturally going to be on me, but I'm inside of a white town. So I was like, okay, now what? Like, oh, you know, it was just one of those things where you become not really a product of the environment. You know how to lead your environment. So I would go to my friend's house and not put my hands on the table. We would go camping. I would hear them, you know, the way that they would interact with each other because I'm from a single parent home. So I watch a mom and dad interact for the first time. It was a lot of stuff I took in. And I'm happy I was like that because now when I'm speaking with people in lesser privileged neighborhoods, I'm like, well, what happened? And they'll explain to me like, well, this was said. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I remember back when blah, blah, blah. And I can break it down to them. Translation is big for the hood. If they can translate more, they would do more, but they're suppressed by knowledge and also by definition. So they don't, and I feel bad because America got to do a better job. They know that this shit is called redlining. They've been doing this shit since forever ago, separating the blacks and whites and, you know, all that bullshit. My kids are mixed and I'm actually 10.2 Irish British. So, yeah, you know, it takes us to make us, you know?
Well, the thing is, I think the US is still a lot more divided than the UK is, for example. Like, you know, I hear people on Clubhouse all the time saying about how divided the blacks and whites are and Latinos and all the different stuff. And like, you know, it's a shame that that's still the case. Sad. Still, you know, because it's not like that in the UK at all. And, you know, it's very integrated and we got, you know, lots of different races and stuff. I'm not sure. I don't actually know if the blacks are the big second community or whether it's like Asians or I wouldn't know, to be honest with you. I don't look into the stats. There's no issues really. So these figures don't really come up and people don't talk about them, like, you know.
But that's awesome, man.
I wouldn't know if it was black people, if it was Eastern Europeans, whether it would be Asian people. There's quite a lot of
races. I love it, bro.
It's just all races.
That's like awesome. That's how it should be, man. Period.
Yeah, you know? And I think I don't understand why it's still like that in the US. I'll tell you some of the reason, but behind it, I think from an outsider is
tell me.
The police are a bit too forceful, and that's what causes the problems.
Is it true in Ireland that they don't carry weapons? A gun? No. Is that true?
No, that's the same in UK and Ireland. They don't carry weapons.
Really?
They carry truncheons. And I think in like airports, you know, in tight security places, they carry weapons, but only rarely do they carry guns. It's a two-way thing, I think. But because more criminals have got guns in America than the police have to have the guns, I think that's their argument. Like, to me, they shouldn't. I know all Americans plead the right to bear arms and whatever.
Well, I'm going to tell you the thing that's messed up about it is, the thing about, you know, with them doing it the way that they do it is that now it's just like, what are we doing? Like, what are we, like, my kids are coming up. My kids don't know shit about, all my kids are mixed. My kids, I got four kids, they mixed. And the cultural, there's no cultural difference because, like, they understand that we don't even speak that. Like, so when somebody says something to them that's kind of like racist or something like that, they wouldn't know how to respond, my kids. And now that's just one out of, like, a whole bunch.
And it is getting better. It gets better every generation. It's just in America, it takes longer because it's you had the segregation for longer, you know, and it was only the 60s that it got taken away. So there's still people.
Yeah, my grandmother was a part of that.
They
spit on my grandmother and all kinds of shit. Like, that's so sad that they were spitting on that woman. She was only like 14, 15, and like, you know, she getting spit on. And this is the thing about it. Is like, see, now that type of shit that they don't tell you about the United States, black and brown people, like with the cops, I get pulled over probably about 50 times a year, bro.
Yeah.
Just because. 50 times, at least 50 times a year. And it's just like, I know that's not normal, but it's so damn abnormal that fuck speaking on it. Like, unless I talk to somebody that's serious like yourself. Other than that, I don't even bring it up because that's the norm. You know what I mean? It's just like... No.
And because you're a positive person, what you do is, this is a good thing. Negative people will concentrate on the negativity and produce more negativity. Whereas if you actually ignore it and concentrate on the positivity, that's the best way of, it doesn't exist. Like if it gets pulled over, it's just like, well, great, nice to see you, move on.
Yeah.
So many people allow that to then eat away at them. That they then get into a bitter fight with the society and the world or whatever. And then it becomes a self-perpetuating problem. This is what I've tried to explain this to other people before, is that whatever it is, you can't change what it is. All you can do is change how you react to the situation.
That's the key. That's the key.
That's the key.
The reaction is key.
Yeah. So
because now you got to realize with this going on, like even when you go back to like the Watts riots, you know what I'm saying? The Watts in LA. But why would you take police officers from down racist ass down south, the KKK police officers group, and take them to LA? You knew damn well it was gonna be bad. Like that didn't make sense. But you know, America built off of white supremacy as far as you know, the amendments, not amendments, excuse me. Yeah, the amendments and all that, like the government, like look at the way they run the government. Like all that's already, it was all based off white supremacy. Like we all know that, but America's still like, oh, no, it's not. It's like, come on now. It's been hundreds of years later. You know damn well who made it.
Yeah, I think
and then the trauma.
This is what I always say. I always say, try and keep out of the fight from a clash point of view and actually just get in, infiltrate, just get into the into the system. That's the only way the only way you can break the system is from inside, not from outside, because the system's too it's too big, it's too strong a force. That, you know what I mean? Because the way I see the police in America, it's more like an army than a police.
I promise. I guarantee.
Yeah, it's like an army. So the only thing you can do, that's what I would do, is you can't do anything about the stuff you can't do anything about. So just let that happen.
Right.
And do stuff about the stuff you can't do something about, like, you know, and just move forward, like, you know, and eventually it will.
No doubt.
It gets better every generation, I think, and it will get better. But there's too many, like, fights bang on. It's like, you know, I personally think America's in a potential risk of a civil war, and you know that nobody wants that.
Well, you got to realize what you know when all that shit happened with the siege of the White House and all that. Yeah. Like they was letting motherfuckers just walk in the White House. Now, if you was black, ain't no mother. Hey, you saw the black dude got chased. There was even a cop in there. Like that should have showed you the irony of America.
Yeah.
How the people are burglarized, and he's a police officer inside of the Capitol by himself.
Yeah.
During the siege, why would they not? That is sad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the trauma, like what happens too, unless a black person and a brown person become an officer, you know, the trauma is real. Like that shit, like every time I'm driving, like if I see a police officer, like I don't mind it, but everybody in the car around me, they'd be like, is he coming back for you? Or my kids even, they're like, and I'm like, y'all don't pay attention. Like, don't even pay attention. But it's sad because, you know, the trauma, typically every black person that drives a car, you got trauma from being pulled over, being searched. I've been searched and pulled over so many times. It's just like, since I've been driving cars, like it's just sad.
I know. It is sad. But like I say, I think as an observer, it'll get better. And the way it'll get better is if people can just, you know, rise above it, just keep concentrating on their own lives and forgetting about. But yet, it's not a nice thing to have to go through these things. But it is one of
those situations. It ain't. But that's why people like me and you can come together and create a. You know what I always wanted to do, man? I probably should get with you, man, but I always wanted to create, you know, like they got to have a process, man. Like I know how to deal with police officers. Like I never have like exactly like real extra problems. Like they only roughed me up and did shit because they thought I was somebody else. Like mistaken identity is a bad thing. They always do that. But besides that, when I'm talking with them, they see the intelligence. They see that, you know, I'm just like, okay, so you thought I was somebody else. Is that the problem? It's just that a lot of times, you know, with us, we so tired of being pulled over that react time to say, like, is that the problem? 9 out of 10 would be like, man, I'm so fucking tired of you. And it's just like, see, now there's a disconnect. So we got to really break that barrier down. So I really always wanted to do like a step-by-step thing, like a quick video, you know what I mean? Just to pass to people.
Yeah. Well, it takes people like yourself who have been outside or been in different environments.
Oh, I've been locked up for weed before too. So like, it's all right, bro. Like, I like, and this is the thing. How you going, the state that I was locked up in, they try to do a whole bunch of extra other stuff because it was a really town that no black people were in at all, right?
Yeah.
But the more the story was that the reason why I'm an advocate for it because that same town and place, now they have recreational marijuana. Now they have, you know, I'm inside of a legal state in Michigan, so this is not illegal. Like, I can grow 12 plants of my own in my backyard.
Yeah.
Where in some places you can't, but I mean, this is all legal. Like, everything I do is legal now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, if I can show people the different parameters on how to be legal with it, I think that'll help too. But once again, that knowledge is not filtered to the community of the hood because they won't arrest them.
But it does need, you know, people like yourself, leaders, community leaders, people who've seen other things and know how to toe the line, know how to actually allow people to progress on from doing things illegally to actually, you know, listen, the game's changed, you know, let's make these things work for us. It's just like, it's just like there's a lot of people making businesses out of selling illegal drugs, right? When they could just as much put as much effort into putting those systems in place, recruiting and training and managing and all of that, and actually make a living out of it. And sometimes there are some communities saying, well, we don't, you know, we haven't got a chance, we haven't got a break in that. Well, sometimes you've got to Make a chance. You've got to force a chance. You've got to make your way out. You've got to make do something different. And to say, you know, I don't get a chance. Yes. But if you're building a business hustling on the street, and you can build a business hustling, you know, in a nightclub or whatever. You know,
selling nightclubs. And those sometimes are your smartest people. They're sometimes your smartest people because of the risk that they even have to take. So it's like, imagine being risk-free and building what you build.
And that's it. That story needs to be taught, like, you know, to people, because I think people sometimes they do think they got no other option, but it's like, well, I always think to them, like, you put all of this time and effort and energy into building a business, which is what it is. It's just an illegal business. But if you're going to put all of that, an illegal business can be pulled at any time. You build a normal business. It takes longer and it's harder because the supply and demand is different. Yeah, there's more supply of other people doing legal businesses, and the demand isn't as much because it's been spread between all those businesses. And on the street corner, you know, there's only the one on the street corner or whatever. You know, the supply and demand is different, so it takes longer to build up. But once it's built up, it's not going to be taken away. So actually, it's much better to build one that takes longer, because every time you build a business, you end up with 3 years inside or whatever. Then you've got to start again. You never got to do that with a normal business. You could do your 3 years, build it. You just keep building it for 10, 20, 30 years. Yeah. And then you're much further ahead of where you are doing this sort of like street corner business. So to me, I'm just like, community leaders, people need to teach other people that there is another way. You just got to, it's harder. But the best things in life are always harder. You can't always take the easy route out. If you want to take the easy route out, then, you know, that's where you're going to end up in the shit.
If you want the easy route, you can't hang with me if you want the easy route. They already know that. So, you know, and that's another thing. I'm through my football camps, and I still run them. I'm actually going to run a new one this year. But I've been doing them since 2009. I done raised over 5,000 kids nationwide through sports camps with no recognition, with no other help. Me take care of these kids. You know what I'm saying? I used to have a partner way back when. He used to play in the NFL, but shit got messy with him. And I don't like the way people operate when they think that they're on a different pedestal. I'll cut ties and I'll do my own shit. And that's what I've been doing since.
I don't like that. So, you know, anyone who thinks they're above everyone else or special, you know, we're all as special as each other at the end of the day. We're all equal.
That's it.
You know? But those kids, the thing is, you don't need no recognition. Yeah. It's always nice to have a bit of recognition, but the people who will recognize
the best recognition that they gave me,
those kids.
Yeah. The best.
Those kids will recognize. They know what you've done for them. They're the most important people. You know what I mean? If you can help some of them,
And with that, with the kids, though, what I was trying to say is, what you say? I'm just so excited because you said a key point. Like, they're truly our future. And also, those kids, I didn't get paid nothing. And I was like, whatever, you know, I still go, right? But through those kids, the guy with his tree and his cannabis advocate and war against drugs, I'm against all that shit because of this. I have an NAACP award. Yeah. That is one of the highest awards a black man, any black woman, anything, anybody black in America, black and brown, you can get. I have that award, and I'm still overlooked. And I'm still overlooked for what? All because I won't kiss nobody ass because the hood don't kiss ass. I got to go talk to a group of people that have been shunned. So if I can get them to understand that you're not shunned and they're going to accept you, they'll trust me before they will somebody else outside the community.
Yeah.
I've always been the bridge. You know what I'm saying? So, man, I'm just going to keep being the bridge, bro.
Well, you got to keep being the bridge. Give me 2 seconds. I've just had someone knock the door. So I'm going to put you on pause.
Yes.
Yeah, so... So as you were saying, the most important people that need to recognize you is the people who, there'll be people who you manage to get on the right path and be able to give them, inspire them to do other things, and they'll recognize that, and that's the most important people, you know, whether you get
I see them.
Yeah, exactly.
The best gratification for me is like when you say build within, like, so with me taking these kids and these single mothers, I do shoe giveaways. I have a garden and I give away, you know, stuff out of my garden all the time to bums and people, you know, with families that don't have nothing, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what I know. Like, I feel inside, that's what I'm supposed to do. So, like, I'll be in line. If I got, like, $10 in my hand and I was going to buy something, if somebody in front of me ain't looking right, I already know that they need it. You know what I'm saying? I just give it to them, bro. Like, I've done that my whole life, and I don't never want nothing in return for it. It's just how God made
it. Well, that's the same. It's the same as me at the end of the day. I help entrepreneurs all the time, and I don't charge them for it. I just give them advice, tips, connections, whatever I can, because the way I look at it is what goes around comes around anyway. So at some point when I need a favor in the future, I know it'll come. Because you look after people, they look after you, or you know, whatever, you know, at the end of the day, I just know by doing right, it what goes around comes around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think if it doesn't even come round, what does it matter? You've helped somebody, like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So for me, I'm always about trying to give people a leg up and a step up, a bit of information, a bit of advice and that. And, you know, the people are like, well, what's your reward for it or whatever? I'm like, well, my reward is seeing them do well. That's my reward. Yeah. You know what I mean? What else do I need?
You know, too. And then, like, the reward, I think, like you said, the reward of seeing that, because it means more to me when I see the people I don't work with through these years and these moms and, you know, the kids. And when I see them out and about, the first thing they do is, Chief, teach me, coach. I want to learn. I do all kinds of little chants with them, and they remember that, right? So I can't go out to eat even. Like, anytime we go out, my girl knows, as soon as we go out to eat, we go do anything, like, they just got to come to the table. You feel me? Like, that is the best shit ever, because I don't ever want to be known as a celebrity. I just want to be me, you know?
Yeah.
But I want you to I always be approachable, so I'm always approachable.
And appreciate and now, and, you know, appreciate that's all you need for the people. Like I said, I don't want to be appreciated by the authorities or government or any of that sort of stuff. But the people I'm doing stuff for, that's all you want is a bit of appreciation. And even if they don't appreciate it sometimes, as long as they go on and do something with the information, then that's fine. You know what I mean? But the ones who appreciate is good, because they're the ones who really do understand what you've done for them. Like, you know what I mean? And
I got a cat right now. He plays He plays safety right now for Central Michigan University, CMU Chippewas, right?
Yeah.
He was at my football camp back in 2013, and he was there, and he had some shoes while playing football. You know, you ain't gonna have the grip, just like playing soccer. You gotta have those cleats.
Studs.
Yeah, he ain't had no studs now. He just out there in shoes, and he didn't fall, and he just had some of the best footwork. And I always told him he was going to be special. Keep working. You're going to be special. I was like, because you act like me. I was an All-American. And I can tell by body movements. And I was, you know, I personal train too. So
yeah,
I do a whole bunch of stuff that makes sense, because that gives, you know, flexibility. But what happened was, now he's about to be a senior this next upcoming year.
Yeah.
My boy is he's going to be either between one through fourth rounds of the NFL draft. He'll be drafted.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
So I got a lot of stories that are, you know, like that. And I got some, you know, some didn't make it out. And I had a camper, you know, I done had people pass away in time. So, you know, I done been through so much with what I do, but I keep going because they keep needing it. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's why Clubhouse is so easy, because I've been doing this my whole life. And they like, well, why do you call it a tribe? I was like, because Chief Skills is known nationwide, man. I see kids in California and Florida with my T-shirts on. Some of them wear just to wear, but some of them because they ain't got no clothes, bro.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know?
But, so it's good. You know, for me, it sounds like you're the same as me. For me, you know, making an impact and leaving a legacy is far more important
than
making a load of money. You know, just leave a legacy, make a difference. You know, you already got one shot at life. You might as well come here and make a difference, you know, than just blend in with the background and disappear at the end.
Man, Eric Thomas said it best. If you want success as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. I was like, ever since I heard that quote, I've been using that forever. And I use that every day. Eric Thomas affects me with that one. But I'm my own version. Like, I don't want to be Eric Thomas, though. We do some of the same work. And I like Gary V too. I like Gary V a lot.
Yeah,
but I don't want to be them. You know what I'm saying? I love them
like
all.
I'm a bit like Gary V. I'm a marketer, but I'm also a bit like Grant Cardone as well, sales. But I'm a bit more in the middle of the two, because I do both.
You feel me? I just got my own swag, man. You know what I'm saying? And everybody, because the younger crowds, that millennials that they can't reach, they'll listen to you.
Yeah.
Because I'm only 5'6", so a lot of them, they think I'm old as them.
They think you're just a few years older, like, or whatever. But
But that's a good thing. That's.
I'm trying to do my thing for the UK, because, like, a lot of the big guys in the world, on a world stage, they're all American. So I'm like, well, that's not fair. You know what I mean? You know,
no
if,
doubt.
If it's the Olympics,
we got a voice
friends
too,
winning
shit.
Some gold medals as well. We gotta get up on the right stages and win some awards
that's
too.
Right.
So I'm looking at that thinking, yeah. Well, little old Wales, I'm gonna get myself on a global platform. You know, that's why I'm on Clubhouse every day, you know, 17 hours
what,
a day.
What's 17 hours a day?
I used to be on 20 hours a day. I'm on a 17 hours shit. A day most days. Yeah, I'm on it most days.
I was complaining about being on there 3 hours a day, 3 hours a day for 5 days.
My phone give up telling me how long I'm on social media and how much phone time I'm spending.
Well, you my guy.
I do my 24 hour a day room, like you know, and other than when I'm on podcasts, I do about two or three of them a day.
Mike, we gotta get you to America, bro. You just gotta come to America.
I'm planning on coming either this year or definitely next year. But my mission my mission is to become a global speaker and speak on stages around the world. But to make that happen, I gotta crack America first, like the Beatles. You know, like all
this
the gotta,
exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So this was gotta happen. I know a lot of people here, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
Me and you need to keep on working and cross-platforming with each other because
now
what's gonna happen is it's gonna be where you're supposed to be, bro. I know a lot of people, Mike, and they like you, man. They like your voice too.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Well, I got some chief skills as well. Let's see. So the chief skills gotta multiply together, the compound effect.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got loads of skills too. Different skills to you, but still a load of skills. Yeah.
The skills, bro. Skills. In order to have skills. You got to be like my man. He was from overseas, but he live in America. You know the one that did the movie Taken? Remember my dude?
Yeah. Liam Neeson.
Come on, man. Yeah, listen, man. That motherfucker right there, he will make you think, right, differently. You feel me? You got to have a special set of skills, bro.
Yeah, that's what I do. I love that bit is the best bit of the film when he says, I've got a certain set of skills. And I know how to use them.
Yes! That's my shit, bro.
Yeah.
That gets me so excited every time. Like, I'm going out to play football again. I love that, man. That is so motivated, man. And then Leonidas in 300. Yeah. Certain shit. If I could play that in one, like, had all those skits lined up, that'd be the hypest shit ever, man.
Yeah, definitely.
And
definitely.
Then you got to sprinkle some of me and you in, though. You got to sprinkle me and you in.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the funny part. Me and you got the voices. That'll probably be better than and their shit in some of their own skits. I promise you.
Yeah.
People tell me that shit all the time. I thought my voice was normal, but they're like, nah.
Well, as I say, your voice is normal, isn't it? My voice is normal to me. It just sounds like what it does. But to other people, they're like, oh, they love the Welsh accent. Like, you know, they sound like a Celtic warrior.
Right.
You know? Because it's just different. Like, you know, I got a very deep voice, I suppose. But it just sounds normal to me.
And that's what I'm saying, but it ain't though. To me, you heard it from one of the first things I said. I'm like, yo, because I got I wear the Bose headphones when I'm doing my Zooms and shit.
Yeah.
And that Bose, I can hear you clear as day. Like I almost feel like we is on Clubhouse because like you sound the same. One thing I've always heard is that I sound the same in person as I do in all this, and everybody else says they don't sound the same. So that might be a skill too that me and you have.
Or maybe just I think because I got a deep voice, you got quite a deep voice as well, I would say. So maybe a deep voice is you know, the bass or something comes across more. I don't know what it is. I don't even think I sound Welsh. I don't even think I sound Welsh, but everyone tells me like, oh, they love my Welsh accent. And I'm like,
hey Mike, I got a question.
What's that?
What do you know about the white Howards over there? When I say the white Howards, the Caucasian Howards, when I looked up Howard last name,
the coat
of arms is red and white, and there's a Castle Howard. I don't know nothing about my Howard last name, obviously, but I'm just saying with me having, you know, that DNA, you know, I 10.2 Irish British, and it's like broadly European and some other shit, so I know obviously I'm that. And it's just like that person was 100% European from 1770 to 1860. That person was, you know, my ancestor was Irish British
at
that time.
Yeah, do you know if you've had any relatives? You don't know from your family tree if you had any relatives in Europe or the UK?
No, they haven't. That's what I need more. That's why I hope that they get, like, people over there do it more so that way they can get me over there. I have a couple that I found, a couple family members that I actually did find over there.
But there's more to it. Yeah,
there's
been a lot of Brits and Irish that have gone to America, haven't they? So maybe somebody come from Britain or Ireland, 200 years ago or 300 years ago.
And maybe had
an affair with one of your, it could be that way, yeah? So it may not be,
yeah.
It may not be that one of your relatives was in Britain or Ireland, but maybe one of...
It could be that.
One of the British or Irish come to America and had an affair or a relationship or whatever with one of your ancestors. Yeah, and then if it's been diluted a few times since then, that would be why it would be 10%. Yeah.
I have a cousin named, he's my third to sixth cousin. His name is Drew Padgett. He lives in Sheffield. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, Sheffield's North England.
Dude, this is cool. Hey, I got to show you. This is cool. I got to show you my cousin. Look at him. Drew Padgett is his name. I'm on 23andMe because I just thought about, like, hey, let me see what he's saying.
Okay, yeah.
That's my cousin.
Okay, yeah.
And he's my third.
He looks like he's from England. He looks English to me.
Oh, he lives there. That's where he is. There it is.
He looks English. Okay, yeah.
Sheffield, United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's the Blade City. That is the Steel City, they call it. It's where they used to make a lot of steel and they made a lot of brick.
That's where we are right there. This is me.
Yeah.
And this is Sip, my brother. So that don't count. That's my brother.
This
is the first cousin. He's really right here. Like, we're
fourth cousin. Like, you know, he's basically like he's like a grandchild, same as you are. You're both grandchildren of something like your great-great-grandfather or something.
Yeah,
great great grandmother.
So both grandfathers.
You share a great 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 grandfather or something like that. That's what four cousins down is, isn't it? It's like or it may be like one of your grandparents' brother siblings or something. Yeah, he could be
the
grandson. You're the grandson of your grandfather, and he might be the grandson of one of your grandfather's brothers or something like that. That's usually like three or four cousins down.
I got you. Okay, now that makes a lot more sense. I get it now.
It's not that, you know, it basically means you're close in family. You just gone down a different branch of the tree.
For sure.
Two or three generations back, you would have just got split down the tree at some point. That's how close a third or fourth cousin is. It's not that far away. Like, you know what I mean?
That's why I asked you.
It means two or three parents up. They were brothers and sisters, and then you just got down the tree a little bit, like, you know. So you're still fairly related. You're pretty related, like, you know. Fourth cousin.
So cool because I know he sounds like you. You know what I'm saying? On top of that, that's pretty, man. That's so cool.
I was just thinking
about that. I was like,
You'll have to do an Eddie Murphy retake and do Come Into the UK, you know, like he was doing Coming to America.
Hell yeah.
What made me think of that is that's an old film. I seen it 30 years ago. But they just made
this. They have the new one.
They just made the new one, haven't they? Like, you know, so that's what made me think about it. Coming to the UK.
I'm coming to the UK, baby. I'm going to find my family, man. I can't wait. I have thousands of family members. But, you know, I have the haplogroup. See, this is why I know I'm special and the reason why I'm different. I'm from the EV38 gene of Ramses III.
Uh-huh.
So with that gene, and then I come down to DM145, and they can't decide in that origination, was it in, you know, West Africa or was it Asian? You know what I mean? As far as that person, you know, that, and all that is rare haplogroups. Like, I'm rare in the world. Like, me and certain people share the same, like, haplogroup. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good. I haven't done mine. I know my immediate heritage is quite rich. I've got England, Ireland, and Scotland in it, and the English.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm proper Celtic warrior. I got the full mix, like, you know.
Real, yeah, I was about to say, you real, yeah.
I'm the full mix of British, like, you know, which is, you know, I got the the trait. I got quite a lot of traits because the part of England which I'm associating with as well is the same part you're associating with, which is my grandfather was from Goole, which is in Yorkshire, which is where Sheffield is. Sheffield's Yorkshire as well. Sheffield is South Yorkshire. Goole is South Yorkshire as well. So not million. My grandfather come from a place not far from Sheffield where your cousin is, yeah? And Yorkshire, out of all of England, Yorkshire is like quite high up, it's north, and it's actually part of the sort of original Celtic bit of England. So,
I watch a lot of movies. I know what you're at. Yeah.
So the Celtic bit of Yorkshire is where all the tough, like, it's where Sean Bean's from. Sean Bean's from Sheffield. You know, he's one of the biggest Hollywood stars from the UK. Like, you know, Sean Bean.
Hell yeah.
You know? And he's from Sheffield as well. And he's a Yorkshireman. So Yorkshires are known as having grit, Yorkshire steel. Yeah. And the Yorkshire grit, there's a lot of miners up there and stuff. So it's quite a hard place. And obviously Wales is quite a hard place. Ireland is quite a hard place. And Scotland's hard place. Yeah. And the rest of England is a bit more softer, if you like. So even the part of England I'm from is the harder place. But actually, my surname, Armstrong, which originates from Yorkshire, it actually started out in a clan in Scotland. So I'm actually part Scottish as well, but from the clan, it moved. My name originates from Scotland.
Oh, okay, I
cover Scotland, Northern England, Wales, and Ireland in my genes. And that's just my immediate genes that I know about. That's just like my grandparents. Right. So like when you take it to layers beyond that, I could be from anywhere, but I know I'm pretty Celtic, like, you know, I'm pretty British, and I quite proud of that heritage.
So in other words, like when they were coming down, when we were coming down, right?
Yeah.
I was a part of that shit.
Yeah.
I am a true warrior. I knew it because of my African heritage. You know, I'm 37% Nigerian, but I have seven other African ethnicities in me, Guinea and, you know, a whole bunch of different just along that coast, and which makes
Africa,
sense.
Most of Africa would have a bit because there's so many countries in Africa. There's so much like
cross-border. Congolese, I have eight. Whatever, like, I have eight different Africans in me, Africans. And then I also have Austronesian. And then I'm Kaimar, all the stuff Moana, and then part Chinese and Filipino as well. So when I look at me, I'm like, holy shit, I can see all that shit.
But yeah, no, it's interesting though. You know, I like
awesome.
Looking at your heritage and stuff. And I'm a global citizen. I love, it wouldn't care to me whatever my heritage was. It's just nice to identify with bits of it, if you like. And I definitely, I definitely identify with the bits of me that are Irish. I know the bits. I talk a lot. I drink a lot. That's definitely Irish. I also like to travel.
Yeah.
It's definitely Irish. Like, yeah.
And then, of course, I love it.
I'm very competitive and very sporty and very sort of rugged. And that's the Yorkshire. That's the Yorkshire steel bit of, you know, put it this way, right? In the Olympics of 2012, Yorkshire, on its own as a country in the table would have been something like seventh or eighth in the table. Nearly all the medals Britain won as a country come from Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Yorkshire's a massive like sporting capital of the UK. Yeah. Because it's very cold and it's very like damp conditions. And like, so when you go out cycling, it's all hills and stuff. So the terrain lends itself. Like a lot of the Iron Men are from Yorkshire. A lot of the cyclists are from Yorkshire. You know, the tough fellas, the real tough people.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. I watch them on ESPN all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm bloody from Yorkshire as well. And that is, you know, the grit that I got, the fact that I'm like do 20 hours a day, day in, day out. You don't knock me off course. That's the Yorkshire grit in me, like, you know. So I got the Irish chatting, the talking and the negotiation, the wheeling and dealing, the traveling, the drinking. Yeah. And then I got the Yorkshire stubborn determination, the grit, you know, and that is my heritage.
This is amazing.
These are all stereotypes of these places, but I got them in me. So sometimes you're opposite to the stereotypes. You know, the reason stereotypes exist is because they are a genuine thing, like, you know?
Observation.
Yeah, they're genuine observation of those people, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not very emotional. My ex-missus used to call me an emotional retard. Basically, I had no emotions.
My girl tell you, she'd be like, why do you not, like, did that not affect you? I'm like, it's all right.
I'm just like,
and I don't mean nothing by it. I'm not being an asshole.
No, it's just I'm going forward. You know, it's just like I'm not letting things affect me. I'm not getting emotional. I'm just going.
Yeah, you know? I don't have time to get emotional. Yeah, I don't have time for it.
I've been a leader all my life, and sometimes I'm like, I have my moments to be emotional, you know, once a year or once a once a decade or something, you know, that one.
Oh yeah, every once in a while I spaz. Yeah, every once in a while I spaz. We, in the United States, we say you spaz. I spaz the fuck out here and there sometime. I spaz, bro. I will.
No, I don't mind being emotional. I'm not emotional, like frightened by emotion. I just don't get emotional. I'm a positive thinker. I'm a positive person. Rather than break down and cry, and usually that's I've lost hope. I've lost everything. I've lost the negotiation.
Right.
I've lost all things. I'm just going to cry then. It's the only thing I've got left. I'm like, no, I'll negotiate for it. I'll do something. I never run out of things to do to have to just, because crying often is it's like a thing of frustration because you can't do anything. I'm like, there's never a situation I cannot do anything in. So I'm not going to break down and cry. I'm just going to just keep plowing forward. Like, you know what I mean?
That's all I know.
That's all I know. Like, you know, so it's like, I don't apologize for not crying, because a lot of the time, like I say, crying is like when you run out of options and you're just like, well, I got nothing to do. Not always, scenarios, like, you know, it's like, I've given in. I don't know what else to do. So I'm just going to cry. Like, I don't give in. So I
give up. I mean, sometimes it sounds like giving up. That's why I feel like crying is that sometimes too. But I mean, ain't nothing wrong with crying. Some men do cry, and I'll be like, go ahead. But some men just don't naturally cry. I think me and you like that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with crying. You just won't see me do it very much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me personally.
I have cried. I cried when I left my ex-wife and the kids and stuff. You know, there are times, you know, when you've got little girls or whatever, you know, kids, or there's certain things that, you know, you'd have to be a monster not to cry over. There's some things that happen, and, you know, they're emotional. But the vast majority of things that other people cry over, I won't cry over, because crying is often, I give up then. I've given up on the argument, or I've given up on the situation, or whatever. And I just, you won't see me give up on much, like, you know what I mean? Which is why, and a lot of times, I'm not going to cry. I'm too busy working on the solution to be crying. You know what I mean? I'm focused on something else.
I got a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's the thing about being an entrepreneur as well. Yeah. Me, you were talking earlier, and obviously I don't mention a few things that I do, and it's just like, I probably still left out another 6 or 7 things, but you know what? That's why I supplies my wants and needs by doing more hustle. So therefore, if I'm lacking over here, I can go to this hustle, and that'll take care of that situation. Like, that's just what it is. Like, and like we said before, if you can apply what you learned, because being from the streets and shit like that, if you can apply what you've been doing with, you know, taking care of the community your own way, man, put that shit to legal use, bro, and let me help you with that shit. Exactly. You know, that's just what I want to do, like you said, bro. Like, that's the moral of the story, though.
That's it, yeah. Well, I've been hustling since I was 11. I've been, you know, I was, my mom and dad got divorced at 8, you know. I was a single mum. I just hustled, you know. Started buying and selling stuff, and I never stopped, and I was 11.
Never stopped.
It's like 32 years, like, you know what I mean? 32 years I've been doing
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
I'll do it another 32 years. It's all I know. I only know that. So it's just I've gone from hustling sweets and, you know, I used to record Sky Movies and sell them in school and stuff like that. I've gone from hustling like that. And now I hustle like I'm trying to get onto global stages and, you know, I'm trying to get a global sponsor for my podcast. And the hustles, they're bigger hustles, but they're still the same hustle.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that, man. I feel that. Nah, I feel that completely, brother.
Yeah, definitely.
All the time. Because, I mean, I was pumping gas in Detroit, out in the hood, with, you know, a lot of times the dope dealers and shit, they had the best cars. So when they pull up to the gas stations and shit, we just wait at the gas station. And when they came there, we go ahead and take care of their cars. And then after that, we would wipe down the windshield and shit like that. Because they give us $5 tip, $2 tip, all that. So that was what we do. We wait all day until he came back. You know what I'm saying? It might be one car. We all fighting for that one car just to get some change.
Yeah, definitely. But
for real, fighting each other like bow, bow. Like, I gotta get this dollar.
You gotta start somewhere, haven't you? Once you learn how to hustle, you learn how to sell and negotiate and, you know, make a buck.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It never leaves you, really. You know, it's
That shit ain't you. That's why I can't really work for nobody else, because I don't do well with authority on top of that, because I have a different way all the time. Like, I just can't help it. Like, my mind don't allow me to be controlled. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can't do it either. I can do it for a while, but I like to do my own things my own way at my own time and my own steam. You know what I mean? It's just don't like being told what to do. I have had bosses in the past. I worked in a company for 10 years. I got promoted 9 times in 6 years. They pretty much let me do what I wanted to do, and that was fine. I think they identified that it's probably best not telling me what to do and just let me do it, you know. But eventually then they start going corporate, and it was all like, you know, meetings about meetings about meetings, you know. You know, you have to have a meeting to decide what you wanted to discuss in the meeting. And stuff like that. I was just like, oh, I can't do this. I just, you know, when I see a problem, I want to just solve it. I don't need to have a meeting about whether I'm going to be able to solve it or not. I just want to solve it. Like, you know what I mean? So eventually, once you get into too big a structure and they clip your wings and you can't do anything, then I'm just like, oh, I'm off now. I can't be handling this. Like, you know what I mean? Trying to have a meeting to discuss with people who don't even know about the problem or the solution, whether we should implement the problem or the solution. I'm like, I can't be bothered telling you. You don't know anything about it. Like, you know, I'm just going to do it. Like, you know? But yeah, it's one of those
things. Yeah, no doubt, brother.
But
that's good information.
Yeah, you know, it's that's what really annoys me. And that's what corporate life's like after a while. You can't, like, what really used to annoy me, some people just still do it now. You know, the email complaints or conversations back and forth between two departments or something. And rather than just going to meet each other and getting it done in 5 minutes, you spend like 3 days going back and forth arguing over like stuff. That's what the corporate world's like. And I'm like, you know, I would have like two or three conversations and I'd be like, I can see this is going to be like one of these back and forth overtime conversations. So I just get up, go into the other department or whatever, and have a chat with them, sort it out in 5 minutes. So many people don't do that. But and that's why like so much time is wasted in the corporate world because of email chains and meetings about pre-meetings about other meetings. You know what I mean? And then you end up in a meeting and you just, nobody knows what they're bloody meeting about.
Not at all. And in the district, and I was like, the district managers did so much extra stuff. Like they would add in their own stuff and you do it their way. And then it'd filter down that they told you wrong. And then, no, they didn't do it wrong. It was you that did it wrong.
Yeah.
No, he told me to do it this way, corporate wise. And it's just like, all right, I'll be my own boss.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. But anyway, I think, I'm not sure how long we've done. I can't remember what time we started, but...
it's all good, man. It's been great. We got to do it again, man. We got to do it again, man.
Definitely, we'll do it again. But just to leave everyone with, some ways of getting in touch with you if they like what they hear and they want to do a bit of business or they want to follow you or connect with you in some way, how do they do that? Where's the best places for them to go?
Yeah, the best way to connect with me, you go chiefskillstribe.com. That's the website, chiefskillstribe.com, all together. And that'll give you the links to get to my Instagram, my Twitter. You can actually sign up for my tribe on there. Maybe we could talk about what we want to negotiate and do together. There's a section for that. There's also a section that gives you the information, gives you a quick bio on me and all that good stuff. So honestly, chiefskillstribe.com. I'm also on Clubhouse at Chief Skills. You can see me on there. I just made a club today. So join my club, man. So Nice. Just come on there and holler at me.
Chief Skills Tribe. Is it the club?
Yes. Yeah. Chief Skills Tribe. Yes, sir.
Okay, brilliant. And what sort of people, you know, there's a lot of people listening and watching my YouTube and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And there will be more over the years as I keep growing it. Who are the sort of people you'd love to reach out and connect with you, you know, on your website? What are the sort of people you like to do business with or you want to get to know? What sort of people are they?
Yeah, the sort of people like me, like I'm unapologetically me. And I'm definitely a cannabis advocate, war on drugs, systemic racism, all that shit is true, man. And I'm against all that shit. So you people that think that's a bunch of bullshit, get with me, because I don't sugarcoat shit neither. Come on and get with me, because I like to keep it so real, because I'm from a place where, you know what I'm saying, if you out here lying, you know, you might not be coming back to tell another lie. So it's all about being honest and being yourself. That's me. And then once we link up, we just make it happen. So I would love to link, but like, I don't know, I like to sit down with Oprah. Definitely want to sit down with Oprah, because she done did some stuff through the years and she's a self-made billionaire. She'd be the number one person to sit down with. And then after that, I always wanted to go to Brazil. I want to go hang out in Brazil for like a long time, because all of our ancestors are there.
It looks like a great place to go partying as well, don't they? And they got some mighty fine looking women as well, just between me and you.
They definitely do. Definitely got that. And, you know, they definitely took like people straight from Africa over there. So like all that mixing through the years is all of us over there. So like that is actually the international hub. And I just want to go. And then also,
Rio Carnival. You know, the Rio Carnival.
Yes, sir, Rio. Yeah, that right there. And people that like to do stuff with kids, like and kids and mothers, like, and fathers too. Like, I like to buy a new pair of shoes. So if you're in a giving away, hit me up, because I love to give away shoes and clothes and all that type of stuff to families, especially up here in Michigan, where it's hard at. Our shoes, they get worn out more and all that, because you got salt on the ground. And I mean, y'all know what it is with snow, but there's other areas where they don't have to worry about that. And it's just like, a lot of these kids went the whole winter in shoes and with no boots, you know what I'm saying? And I be trying to do the best I can to get them more stuff. So if you're just a real person, holler at me, man. And that's really what it is. And I definitely want to meet you, though. I'm trying to come to your house and kick it.
Yeah, well, if ever you come to the UK, let me know, and I'll meet up with you. We go partying somewhere. Maybe
that's
in Sheffield.
All I'm trying to do. I need some ale. I need some ale. Hook me up.
Hey, I need some myself. Like, you know, I love partying. I love drinking. But I love drinking in company. You know, I don't like drinking in the house on my own. I have a couple of cans here and there, but I don't get
there, but it's not the same.
I don't get I'm with you. Let's go out and properly get drunk and party. Like, you know what I mean? A proper session.
Let's do it, man. let's do a real session, man. We got to have some gas, but we got to have some good smoke, though.
Yeah. Well,
we got to have some good smoke. Chief, need that good smoke. You see the letters is in smoke. We got to have some good smoke now.
Yeah, well, it's not legal in the UK, so.
And some of those companies, too. I mean, if you in the 420, you a cannabis advocate like myself, really reach to me, man. I got a lot of ideas. I'm doing stuff now. So if you're in the cannabis industry, you know what I'm saying? You obviously know I love smoking CBD, hemp, all that good stuff. I'm open to all of that. I just learned a lot about that through Clubhouse. So thank Clubhouse for that. I'm into that. So, you know, I mean, I don't mind promoting and looking out for you. I got my own, but I mean, I like looking out with other people. So I'm really an influencer. Yeah. People listen to me. So if you have a good product, let me put it out there with you. We can partner.
Yeah, I tell you a person who could do with your help, actually. She's a good friend of mine. She's from Nigeria. So, you know, that's 37%, you know, related. Well, you said 37%.
I'm there.
But she's Nigerian anyway. She's a good friend of mine, Alexandra. Alexandra, yeah, you go.
Oh.
And she sells a product called Black Soap. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's an organic product. Yeah. Natural product. Yeah. Made from plantain and honey and lots of natural ingredients in Africa.
Oh, man. Yeah?
And she's just starting to ship it internationally now. So she's been selling it around Africa. But she's sold some to Scandinavia. She's done some to, America. And she's just done some to the UK recently. And she's looking to grow that business globally. So, you know, you could be a brand advocate for her.
I would love to.
Yeah, so check her out. She's called Alexandra Hugo on Clubhouse. Okay. Alexandra, not her. Yeah, so Alex.
Okay.
And then Alexander is ER. But Alexandra is RA. Yeah, she's Alexandra. Yes. Alexandra Hugo, UGO. And she got a product called Black Soap. And she just started a club called the Black Soap Queen. Yeah.
Okay.
And she's looking for people to just help promote her product. And she's got,
I got a podcast and everything too. Yeah. So,
She's got triplets plus one. So she's got four kids. Yeah. And she's
just
splitting up with her fella at the moment as well, I think, or going through a bit of a unhappy time. So she needs a bit of help with, promoting her product. And
link me up, man. I need her. I need to find her.
Yeah, definitely. I think you could be a good brand advocate because I'm pretty sure. Well, her black soap is for, it's not just for black skin, it's for black and white skin. I'm pretty sure you'll know a lot of the black community all over America, but Michigan and all of that, who'd probably want to
get behind that product.
Yeah, we're
going to want to get behind her, sure.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I'll do all of my power, and I got the right people to help me do it. I'll put her on my website and everything. We're going to get her taken care of. Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. So, she's a good friend. She comes in my clubhouse. So, I'll send you her name, her clubhouse name to your Instagram. And then and then you can check her out on Clubhouse and tell her I sent you. And
I will.
Yeah, there's a good guy in the UK, Darren, who's a coach, who's bought a product recently, and he loves it. He's done a video testimonial on how good it was. it's a really good product, it is as well, you know. So.
Oh, man, that's great news. Great news. Didn't know I was going to walk into that. That's great news, brother.
Nice.
Yeah, soap. I'm a clean dude, too, man. I got to have that soap, bro, because I'm a clean dude.
Well, this soap lathers up.
I take a lot of showers, bro.
It lathers up a lot, this stuff, too, so you want to get yourself a pot. It comes in a big pot.
Yeah. I'm a fly guy. You know, I'm a fly dresser, man.
I can smell it from you. I can see it and smell it from you.
Fly dresser, man. Yeah, man. You understand me?
You got all the skills. Use fly.
That's it, baby.
Use proper fly.
That's it. That's it, baby.
It's been great having you on the podcast anyway. Love your vibe, love your energy. And if anything, you got anything going on again and you want to come back on, friends can always come back on and talk about whatever they want to. So,
I'm going to come back in about, my birthday's on 420. So I definitely want to go around there around the time around that because we have an event here. In Michigan for my birthday, so
I'm trying to think as well. I got another clubhouse friend in Michigan. I'm trying to think who it is now. Michigan. Oh, I think he might be my mate who's he plays baseball. I think of his name now. He's a new friend of mine, but he's a good guy. He's a nice guy. He's only young, in his 20s or whatever. He plays baseball.
Oh wow,
you're a nice kid. He's from Michigan.
Yeah,
well.
we big into baseball up here.
I think. I think he plays baseball, but he's also an entrepreneur. He wants to be a comedian. I think he is a comedian and he wants to be an entrepreneur, I think. But he's from Michigan as well. He's in my room as well, youngster, like, you know. So
I love youngsters, man.
Yeah. No worries. Well, have a great day. Yeah, enjoy your full day because I only got a couple of hours left of mine, but you still got.
It's all good, bro. We get out there and sip one, man. Get out there and sip one, G.
Yeah, definitely. You have a great day.
All right, brother. I'll catch Stay blessed, man.
Clubhouse, all right?
Hey, and I love the UK. Y'all get in touch with me, man.
No worries. All the best. Cheers. Ta-da.
All right, brother. Bye-bye.